This is the Dudes in Christ podcast.
What's poppin'? This is the Dudes in Christ podcast. I'm your host, Justin Fowler.
And I'm Josh Cullum.
Joshua Garris.
Bro, you slowed the flow down.
Joshua Garris.
I came out hot. Sorry. Josh followed with hotness, and then you just, Joshua Garris.
That's how it goes.
I don't see no energy drinks, so what?
That's what it was.
That's what it was?
I got about 3 hours of sleep.
And you didn't get an energy drink?
No. No.
I got a spare.
Oh,
I'm okay. I'm all right.
Do we need to pause?
I'm good. A few deep breaths. I'll be
a little ammonia this morning. Back slaps.
Smelling salts.
So, what y'all been up to? I know, Josh. Hold on. Work.
Working on something.
There you go.
Constantly.
You did do some work this
yeah. Worked weekend. On the front end of my truck. I got it all new front end is about ready to have it aligned now. Smashed fingers.
So what have you been doing? Been driving on County Road 118 out here and just blow your truck out or what?
No, my county road's bad enough. I said we get about a year out of a year lifespan on 10-pot tires.
Wow.
On our road. Jeez. Just the gravel eats it up.
Maybe it's because you're going like 60 miles an hour.
That has nothing to do with it.
Okay. Well, when I intersect with you, when I'm coming on 25, I'm always like, what's that truck going so fast? Oh, it's Josh.
He's three Red Bulls in.
Gotta get to church.
Awesome. What about you, Ruckus? What you been up to?
Nothing. Finishing a bathroom project at the gym. They finally got all the pipe stuff, so then it was up to me to make it into a bathroom.
Yeah.
So, you know, painting and stuff like that. And I've been waiting to stain wood for about 5 days. Just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
It's on the sawhorse. So.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the new bathroom renov. That's not the right word. Renovation. Yeah, it's awesome. So much more room for activities in there.
Yep.
Feels comfortable.
Speaking of renovation, we got one here too.
Yeah, just a little facelift.
A new pod. Clean. Yeah.
We officially have about 3/4 of a room now.
Yeah.
That we can move around in.
We can move around and play jumping jacks and stuff in here now.
Where did all the other stuff go?
Good question. So, pastor and sister pastor came and helped me move out, and a lot of stuff we just started moving. Some of it, I don't know what happened. A lot of it ended up in the trash.
Wasn't our pew in here?
There was.
Is it in the prayer room?
No, it is in the kitchen.
I should have went to the prayer room.
Well, Grandpa mentioned that, but
okay.
Grandma's like,
enough said.
That's a prayer room, but it's also a kids' church still. So
yeah. Multi-purpose.
Yep. So, but hey, changes are coming for that as well. It looks like we're going to be doing some adding on between the church and the gym, and have a big hallway there and have some room so we can expand out and have some more activities.
Yeah, I'm excited to see maybe a floor plan.
Yeah.
See what that would look like.
Yeah, that's going to be
an entrance into the gym.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty sweet. So I think we're going to put a little storage like shed on the backside. So like a lot of this
extra
that we have, sound equipment and everything, just kind of have a spot for it. But for what I've been have going on, I started back training this week. Me and Zach's been programming me, and the first day, so Monday, I had to swap it up to mornings. Zach put me back on 4 days a week instead of three. So Monday morning was the only time I can get it in, and 5 a.m. squats are not very fun. But it went good as the days progress on. I'm kind of getting more limbered up, you know, getting bunning up to the meat. There's not a whole lot of for me, I kind of shorted my volume down a lot, and so doing like 5 reps and stuff is like intense cardio for me right now.
Same here. Went back to training this week and realized how lacking my conditioning was.
Like, yeah,
just
you know, five sets of five or six, and by the fourth rep, I was like, ugh! Like the weight wasn't unracking the weight and coming off was like, oh, this is fine. But once you start breathing with it, right. Like, uh-oh.
That's what we saw. He's got on got me on like an RPE based stuff, and right now, like reps one and two are like RPE four, and three, four, and five are like nine, just due to the fact that I'm out of breath and everything, but it's going along good. Yeah. Today we want to kind of talk about a multitude of things, I guess is what we may talk about, but we want to talk a little bit about faith, a little bit about you know, receiving a word from the Lord and going forth and pressing in on that. We'll talk a little bit of background. Some of you may or may not know the story where the Israelites, you know, they roamed in the wilderness for 40 years. Some theologians say that the journey they were on should actually took 13 days. So they done some wandering. So they were, I guess they originally was in Egypt due to a famine, correct? Is that where they originally?
They had been taken slaves.
Right, but as they were, before they were taken slaves, their reasoning for being there, I'm pretty sure, was a famine in the land. But either way, they were taken slaves, and they actually, their people, if you will, started multiplying pretty rapidly. And Egypt didn't like that, so, you know, they started... I guess the last thing they did was throwing the boy babies in the mm-hmm. in the river. And one of the babies that got saved was Moses out of that. And he was the one that eventually led them out of Egypt on the journey. A few years into the journey, Moses sent 12 spies, you know, out into the promised land. Moses received a word from the Lord that, you know, to press into the promised land, the land of Canaan. And so he sent 12 spies to inspect the land, see what all's kind of going on. And I think we'll see that. And Numbers 13, we can kind of pick up there. Yeah, I'll just read Numbers 13. The Lord now said to Moses, "Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm going to give the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes." So, you know, Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men. And just to kind of shortcut it here, the 12 men went out, they sought the land, and 10 of them, they came out like, man, the land is awesome. It's flowing with milk and honey. But them some big dudes over there, you know, we can't take that from them. And Joshua and Caleb just like, no, the Lord said we could. You know, yep. they stood on faith. You know, they said we can do it. And fast forward to that, there's a lot of years in that journey that still went along. Like I said, it was ended up being a 40-year journey.
And to just briefly pause for just a second to talk about Joshua and Caleb's report, you find it in Numbers 14. Numbers 14. If the Lord delight in us, he'll bring us into this good land. Just totally trust in God's favor. And they say he'll give us this land which flows with milk and honey, and don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of this land. They are bred for us. So basically what the other 10 spies had already reported, that, you know, these dudes are huge. But so was everything else about the promise of the land. I mean, they came back with the grapes and the figs and the freaking grapevine thing. Yeah. They had to hang between a stick and carry it, but, you know, a couple dudes. And I in my notes, I have in all caps, their defense is departed from them and the Lord is with us. So, I mean, they knew, it's like they knew. I mean, they were just as aware. It wasn't like they were blinded to the fact that, yeah, these dudes, you know, they're jacked and tan and juicy, but you know, the Lord's with us. And, right. Their defense is departed from them. So, I mean, right there, you already see, you know, given a little bit of insight into the faith of Joshua and Caleb, and I believe it's numbers 14 and 10. The people wanted to stone him for it. I mean, they didn't want to hear that report. So
that was a challenge to them.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I don't really fuck. I want to go fight. I don't want to go risk anything to get the promise. I don't want to do the work for the promise. Yeah.
Just a little note, not that we have to talk much about it, but a lot of times, you know, you see the others wanting to stone them because of their faith. And a lot of times we face that a lot today too. You know, we may really press in towards our faith, and sometimes people don't like that. You know,
they're not ready for it.
Yeah. You know, they're not ready for it. And because maybe they don't have that same faith, they're, I don't want to say jealous of it, but they're, you know, they're almost rebellion against that. You know, they just don't know if they're questioning whether God can do it or if they're questioning their own faith. You know, why don't I believe? I don't know, but you do see that throughout the world today is people will go against those with great faith.
And a lot of it mirrors the stuff with the Israelites. They didn't want to leave what was comfortable to them. I mean, also in Numbers 14, they're ready to turn around and go back to Egypt, back into slavery, you know, and blaming God for it. You know, God should have just left us in Egypt. He could have at least let us die in the wilderness. They would rather die in the wilderness than get to, you know, the edge of the Jordan, send spies across, and come back with a report that says we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to go over there and take the land, which is crazy. I was thinking about it this morning. The only thing I could equate it to is like the short-term memory of like a pack of squirrels. You know, all the stuff that God's brought you through, parted the Red Sea for you. I mean, in your lifetime, within the last few, within your lifetime, very shortly, and you get to, you know, the Jordan and some big dudes and stuff like that, but it's like there's so much promise of it.
Yeah,
I mean, we, you know, it's the promised land, you know, but there's the milk and honey and the figs and like all the stuff that's abundant in supply.
Yeah,
and because of this one, you know, the step that you're gonna have to take into it, you'd rather just sink back into your comfort zone. And I mean, that's,
and you think of them like, what did they have to lose? You know what I mean? If we turn around, we're going to be slaves the rest of our life, you know? So why, you know, it's easy for me to say, cause I'm not the one walking around the wilderness for 40 years, but it's like, man, what do you have to lose? What you can go back to, like you said, comfort and even be enslaved to comfort, you know, why not just press forward and just try them? You know what I mean?
It's kind of ironic. Cause I was just sitting here thinking about it, you know, how similar where they're at with the 40 years walking in the wilderness and what they don't want to do to get to the promise, the work they want to put in to get the promise.
Yeah.
Kind of like society today. You know, God fed them manna from heaven. He took complete care of them. They didn't really have to do much for themselves, but keep walking in a circle.
Yeah.
You know, and now, hey, if all we got to do is take hold of the promise, put in a little bit of work, have some faith, and it's all ours.
Yep.
And God said it's ours, and we still don't, well, you know, I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and as we bring it into, you know, the book of Joshua, like to where we actually started out, the 40 years was a result of that unfaithfulness to begin with.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the crazy part to me is, When they get to the Jordan River 40 years later, and he sends spies across. I mean, the whole story of the stuff with Rahab is like they literally had already, you know, all the stuff had already had, they already knew, you know, so they send spies into the city or whatever. But they were repeating something that could have been theirs 40 years earlier, you know, and they get to the exact same place and
They had the problem of getting Egypt out of them more so than them leaving, you know, see with the golden calf and stuff like that. It's like they want to fall to their rebellious religious background.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Instead of ever changing.
So do you like, can we talk about Joshua just as a leader and some of it? I mean, basically he became Moses' second in command. I mean, he was, he knew that he would be the, you know, the next in line.
Yeah.
In Deuteronomy, you know, as they're walking, you know, God assures Joshua of his promise. Deuteronomy 3:21, if you guys want to look that up. And we're also told that Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands upon him. And he was listened to by the children of Israel and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. So basically, when God told Moses that Moses was not going to enter into the promised land, but he would get to see it, Joshua, you know, was raised up as the next leader. So, I mean, we already know when we get to this spot again, you know, Joshua's the one taking us across.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't think of any, you know, other than because of his, you know, because of his faithfulness, you know, God put him in that position.
Absolutely.
And I really like, when you get to Joshua 1 and they're at the edge of the Jordan River, you kind of, Moses has just died, but Joshua's picked up the vision, you know, right where Moses left off. And basically just had to walk in the faith that God was going to fulfill that promise. Even though Moses believed for years and didn't get to see the promise fulfilled.
Yeah.
You know, Joshua believed he was still going to fulfill it in him.
Yeah. And Moses had a very big part in that because, you know, just molding Joshua and what really stuck out to me, if we just go to Joshua 1, at the first of it, you kind of see the passing of the torch, if you will, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua. And he said, Moses, my servant is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these peoples across the Jordan River that I am giving them. And you see, as he takes over, I think there's three times it says in the in chapter 1, be strong and courageous. You know, and then if you go back to where you're talking about in Deuteronomy, Josh, which was it, 3:23, is that right?
Yeah, 3:21, 22, 20, 21 and 22 for sure. I actually just read it.
But you see this, be strong and courageous, and then you see, let me get back to where it was. What was the scripture you just said a while ago?
Talking about just, God.
What was the, do you have it wrote, Deuteronomy?
Oh, 3:21.
3:21, okay.
Yeah, I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest.
And then 22 on mine, it says, do not be afraid of the nations there, for the Lord of God will fight for you. Mm-hmm. So just taking that parallel earlier here, you know, where it says, do not be afraid, you know, the Lord will fight for you. And then you see he's reiterating it. And when Joshua steps in, you know, be strong and courageous. So that continual reminder from the Lord tells me that at that moment, through that process of crossing over, there is probably a good amount of time where Joshua could have the opportunity to become weak, you know, to become afraid. So I don't know why that stood out to me. Maybe it's a relation to what our life is today. There's going to be times where it's going to be tough, when you're going to have to be strong and courageous. You're going to have to sit on that faith of no matter what, I know what the Lord has told me, and I'm going to press forward to that. Along with knowing what the Lord has told me, you see in Joshua 2 or Joshua 1 there, where he takes, you know, he's really listening. You know, he's given, the Lord has given him like direction, step by step in some situations. It's like, so Lord, I know the faith. I have the faith. I know what you have said, but I'm going to continue in the faith and continue to listen what you are saying. That way I can walk into what you want me to have. And that just really stood out to me is, and that's where when I message you guys, the lens of faith, you know, it's more than just one time. It's a continual, and there's several things in that. There's a listening, there's a being strong in your faith even when you know the situation is going to cause you to become weak, maybe to cause you to become vulnerable, you know, in any other thoughts or mishaps that would cause you to become weak or dismayed.
Well, and it's easy to take up the word and like read this stuff, and it might take you the book of Joshua. You just look at the first few chapters. It might take you 25 minutes to read it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk about it and oversimplify or try to make it sound like, oh, I'm right on board, because there's a faith that you can have to follow, and then there's a faith that actually requires you to step up and lead. Mm-hmm. And I think there is there's an enormous difference between the two.
Yeah.
Okay. So following Moses around the wilderness when, you know, the promise was given. I mean, you know, the promise was given to him.
Right.
So following him around the wilderness isn't really that. That's not much of a task for Joshua. I mean, it is. Like it has its unique challenges. But you know, Moses is dead.
Yeah.
You know, like you're standing at the you're standing at the Jordan River now.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't think, you know, it's easy to not make a big enough deal out of, like, I mean, we see it in retrospect. So, you know, that would still be, I mean, you're looking at those big walls.
Yeah.
You know, that river and, mm-hmm. yeah, like, you did have the faith to come back 40 years ago and say, like, oh, you know, they're ours. You know?
Yeah.
But you put a lot of miles on them legs since then.
Nike's about wore out by now.
You've seen how fickle the people can be.
Yeah.
And that's your army. You know, that's your brave men. Those are the people you're counting on to take the city. Now, you have God's word.
Yeah.
You know, but how often do we have God's word and it's just that little inkling of a promise and you don't feel like it's enough to stand on? Yeah. You know? Now I think he had been, as you had said, he had been given the promise. He had been encouraged many times by God and through Moses, but still, you know, when you're the one at the front of the pack and you're about to lead these people across, I think there's no question that even with an exorbitant amount of faith, there's still going to be some fear down in there.
Absolutely.
Too. I mean, you're going to be wrestling with it. So I think that it's no surprise that in Joshua 1 that you see it, you know,
multiple
several times.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure he was quaking in his little flip-flops or whatever.
Sandals.
Jesus sandals.
But
that had to be just an enormous task. And then it happened as we read, and, you know, I don't know the timeline of how quick Joshua 1 on out happened, but, you know, Moses' death, and then Joshua's like, let's go. You know what I mean? We're like to the point where we need to be moving based on what God's saying in this current moment.
Yeah. Well, so can we just briefly hit on the stuff with Rahab?
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, they get back to the Jordan River, they send across two spies, and they go into the city and checking everything out, making sure they're going to be able to go in and take it or whatever. And they meet a woman named Rahab. You guys want to?
Yeah, Joshua 2.
Yeah, in Jericho.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say? So she
takes the two men. She hides them. The king, I guess, of Jericho, hears, you know, that there are spies in the city. He sends people out looking for him. So she hides them and, basically makes a pact with them that, you know, if I keep you and, get you out of the city safely, when you come back to take it, you know, just do right by me and
spare my family.
But here's my whole thing is in the, if you look at Joshua 2:9, she said unto the man, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that your terror has fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. And you look at 2:10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. So here's the thing that really like hits home about their lack of faith 40 years ago that caused them to have to wander in the wilderness. She's referring to them crossing the Red Sea and coming out of Egypt.
Yeah.
Was an event from 40 years ago.
Yeah.
That still gives them like the fact that the Israelites are at our doorstep. These are the people that God parted the Red Sea for 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and they had the land 40 years ago.
Exactly.
Because of the, you know, and so you see in Numbers 13, they come back and they're given the report. And, I thought this was particularly, you know, it interested me. Their report said, we were in our own sight, grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight, because of how they saw themselves. That's how they allowed the enemy to see them, because they were grasshoppers in their own sight. When, according to Rahab's report, you know, they were afraid.
Yeah.
Due to, I mean,
they were expecting. Yeah. You know, like we've been afraid. Yeah. You know what I mean? We knew it was yours.
Yeah. Right there where they said that we felt like grasshoppers. I wrote in my Bible, a seed was planted by the enemy at that point. As soon as they said that, they planted a seed of fear in everybody else.
Nice. Yeah.
That's good.
So, I mean, God's favor was with them always. I mean, he would have given them, you know, he would have given them the land 40 years ago.
It was theirs for the taking.
Yeah. So, you know, they, she asked them to, you know, swear that they'll spare her and her family, and, lets them out of a, she lives on the wall of Jericho. So lets them out of a down the wall in a basket, and they get safely and go back to Joshua. But I just thought the story of the stuff with Rahab is interesting to me. So
it's like you said, it stands out big to what you do. You know, in your life can, you know, what the good that God does in your life, and I know in this instance it was instilling fear because they knew they were coming pursuing their land, but the good that God does in your life, you never know who's watching that, you know. And I will compare it today, not in a fearful way, but in a way that can be encouraging to somebody else. You never know who's watching and who you're building up. Like I've talked to you a few guys about the people that has reached out who, you know, said they were listeners of the podcast and everything else. That builds me up because for one, I didn't even know, you know, those people had any idea. And, you know, I think it's just awesome just being able to build each other up and, listen and be obedient and just see what happens. You know what I mean? I don't know. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
Well, when we were speaking on Joshua being a big leader, you know, or a great leader, in advance to crossing the Jordan River in 3:1, Joshua 3:1, it says Joshua arose early in the morning, and it's pointing out to his readiness and watchfulness to cross the Jordan. He was ready. And in scripture, men of God were, without exception, early risers in order to meet God before they met men. And today we should be saturated with the Lord's presence before the Lord can bless others with what he has worked in us. Mm-hmm. So we need to make it a daily thing as far as being a leader for our family, a leader for our community or whatever, to meet God first thing in the morning.
Yeah, that's really important. That helps me tremendously. Sometimes I get lazy if I'm fully transparent, don't get up, don't get in the Word or do something before I kind of get my day started. But I notice that if I do, even if it's just a little bit of scripture or something, it just makes the day, I don't want to say go easier, but it kind of shifts my mind to the right area of thought.
Here's my thing. Like, it's the same as anything else. It's easy to talk about. It's not always easy to do.
Right.
But man, it's like I'm 30, I'll be 36 in a few months.
Whoa.
And in my years of being like on and off with God, like my crazy life story, 100 times over, he's proven that, he's just proven that he's always faithful.
Right.
But if I'll be a little bit faithful, if I will make the effort, which is really not faith. That it's not that much when you start, once you start doing it, it's not that much, make the effort to be faithful. He rewards it always, every time. And I feel like this is a good time to just mention to you guys and to listeners, just issuing a challenge. If you find it really difficult to get in the Word, and God knows every single one of us spend way too much time on social media. Yeah. For the last 3 weeks, I've been, I won't look at any social media on my phone until I've been in the Word. And not necessarily pray, because usually that it just accompanies, for me, the Word is, I'm not going to say it's more important or anything like that, but it's like, that's the part that is a lot more difficult for me to nail down. You have to set aside time for that. The prayer you have to set aside time for, but then there's also just the continual prayer of going through the day and stuff like that.
Right.
I find it the way I've been putting it to myself, of course, I got to trademark it, it's some great idea, but don't be on the book until your face has been in the book, So
boom.
Like that.
Yeah. Whoa. Groundbreaking stuff. But anyway, it's been helping me though. Cause it's I'll get up and there's always the temptation to just scroll through and look at Facebook and stuff as I'm walking through the house, like getting ready to go cook breakfast. But if I will put that down and wait, and I'll go and usually have a little bit of quiet time at work before anybody else gets there, because I'm an early riser. Leadership quality.
Yes.
You're Joshua and you're an early riser.
Man, it's uncanny.
That's why I knew Josh when he was talking about that being an early riser. I was like, man, he's fitting to trademark this one, because he's up at before Jesus and his 12 disciples every day.
Yeah.
But anyway, spend that little bit of time in the Word. A chapter. And we literally we already said it. You can read Joshua 1 through 3 in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You can read Joshua 1 and just be encouraged by the, be strong and of good courage three times. And that's, that's some Word right there. So not difficult to do once you start doing it. It's just a matter of starting to do it. So,
yeah. Awesome. We got some, anything else brewing on you, Josh? Just a couple sign-off things. Before we get out of here, we do have some t-shirts coming out. And we're in the process of that. We have a navy and a gray. We'll have some more info about that, send some pictures out and kind of give you an idea what they look like. If you want to want some, just let us know. We'll probably have a big pre-order, try to knock it all out at once. And
we appreciate your support.
Yep. God the Father apparel. They got some stuff. Their newest season is out. Use discount code Dudes in Christ. And also for any men out there, especially if you guys are involved in any kind of workout, nutrition, faith, check out Built Ready. It's called Built Ready. BuiltReady.com is the website to get more information on it. But it is a men's group I'm a part of. The motto is mastering manhood, you know, not only in the physical, but in the mental and absolutely the spiritual. It's headed off by former NFL player Heath Evans. He's a wonderful man of God. He is kind of our leader there, and he builds us up, gives us challenges, kind of like Josh said. We have readings every day that we're supposed to be going through. We have just a tremendous support group from other men. The initial membership is free, but I'm pretty sure if you want to get involved in like some of the programming and stuff, that's kind of where the cost comes out. But check it out, builtready.com. Follow Heath Evans on Instagram. He's always talking about it, kind of giving more idea of what all it's what all it is about. We have some disciplines or some declarations that we have, and that's what we press into and try to really be as a man. You can find that on builtready.com. But it's just it's a great brotherhood, and it'll really, really strengthen you up and really challenge you in ways too. So check that out. Other than that, I guess we're out, and we'll see you guys next time. This is Dudes and Dudes.